The scripture reading today is from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 7. Please follow along in your pew Bible. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Foreigners shall till your land and dress your vines. But you shall be called priests of the Lord. You shall be named ministers of our God. You shall enjoy the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you shall glory, because their shame was double, and dishonor was proclaimed as their lot. Therefore they shall possess a double portion. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. This is the word of the Lord.
Since our theme is hungering from God in an overstuffed world, today I'd like to just take some time to look at the passage in Isaiah and focus on what it means for us to hear the hunger that God has for a world that is broken, and to hear the hunger for that among people like ourselves and the people we live with and the people in our homes. And since the scriptures tell us that hearing comes by faith and faith by the word of God, we go to prayer and ask that God's Spirit would give us that spirit of faith by which to hear the word as God's very own word to us. So let's pray. Gracious Lord, who has come among us in a way that was so unexpected that only people like shepherds could get it right, Lord, we ask that you would give us ears to hear, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing in your sight this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In October of 1962, a man is walking down the street in New York City. His name is Noel Regne. 1962, if you remember, was in October of 1962, the Cuban Missile Crisis was going on. And for those of you who remember, you will remember, and those of you who don't, is that the United States and Russia was in a severe military conflict over the missiles that were in Cuba. People were full of despair and concern about how this was going to be resolved. There was a hunger and a deep concern for life and for liberty and for people to be healthy and not harmed. He's walking down the street in New York City, and he sees in the midst of all of this, and he's been asked to write, he's a songwriter, he's been asked to write a song for the upcoming Christmas season. And in the midst of this, he sees a mother pushing a dual stroller down the street with two children who look at each other. And in that flash of moment, he sees an angelic flash when they look at each other. And he said, something extraordinary happened. Something happened in the midst of the international conflict and all of the national concern for that international conflict. He said, I saw something and I heard something. He went right home and he wrote the lyrics down. He showed them to his wife, Gloria Shane, who was a pianist. She looked at them and he said to her, can you put music to this? She took it with her, and she thought about it for a few days. And a few days later, she's shopping through Bloomingdale's in New York City. And in the midst of shopping in Bloomingdale's in New York City, she says, "I hear notes like trumpets sounding in my ear." They go like this. I hope I can get it right, not mess it up. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. You know the song, right? Do you hear what I hear? You like that? Good, thank you. That song went on to sell many, many copies. I bet many of you thought that was written a long time ago. I bet some of you probably thought you might find it in a hymn book. 1962. What was it that he heard? What was it that his wife heard? In the midst of all of that, walking down probably one of the most secular cities in the world, in one of the deepest international crises that the world has faced in the last how many years, the focus is on the framing of that story in this larger one about, do you hear what I hear? Said the night wind to the little lamb, "What do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, what do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night, with a tail as big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite." Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, "Do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the tree, with a voice as big as the sea, with a voice as big as the sea." Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, "Do you know what I know? In your palace warm, mighty king, do you know what I know?" I'll finish the song later. I won't sing it. I'll finish it later. Hearing the hunger for God in and around us, when we hear that, draws us into God's desire to restore, to reclaim, and to redeem. At Advent, it's very easy to fall off the edge that we're to keep on this story, to fall off on one side and to over-sentimentalize the season, make it a season of the senses and make it only a season for our senses. The other side is to become disaffected with it, is to say, you know, the old Scrooge, bah, humbug, and to kind of find some kind of self-righteousness in just so doing. But the edge that we walk, that we seek in Advent, is a fine one, and we stay on it by hearing. And when we hear the hunger of God for a world that has been created from God's good voice, that has separated from God by disobedience, and in its brokenness, God enters it without asking permission, as if he can show up as a baby. Christian, we hear something more. We hear something more. We, those of us who worship this morning, I bet, we hear the hunger of God for peace, for justice, for the reclaiming of lives. And I sense that that is a little bit of what Noel Regney felt when he was walking down the street in New York City, and his wife felt when they composed, she put the music to that song. So let's look at the story again through the lens of Isaiah 61 and see what we can hear. To hear with the ear of faith. So if you wish to turn to it, I'm going to reference it, but I'm going to just start briefly with Luke 4. It says that Jesus showed up in Nazareth one day in the synagogue, and a scroll was given to him, and he opened the scroll, and the reading was from Isaiah. And he read these words, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me,
because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and relief to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. Jesus stopped right before that phrase, which we can't go into that, but he stops by saying to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He closes, rolls the scroll. He wouldn't close the scroll. Rolls the scroll up, sets it down, and says this. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Really? What would it be like if one of us stood up here to preach? We just read a scripture. We said, you know, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And then sat down. He sits down with a certain decisiveness and power, quiet power in his voice. The point I would like to make about this for you to hear is that he says the word today. He says, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Throughout the Old Testament, in various Psalms and in other places, today is the moment. It's not just a moment in time. Today is the moment of opportunity to hear the redeeming voice of God. And when we consider Advent, again, we walk a fine line between simply making it something on the calendar and something that is kind of like a heavenly story that never lands on earth. And to focus on this fine line that Advent is today. So in a real sense, today, this scripture is continuing to be fulfilled in your hearing. It wasn't just that day or some day to come, but today. And I point that out to locate us as we look at Isaiah 61. Because it would be easy for us to regulate this passage into the past again. Or to see it as some kind of utopian story that we kind of hope will happen. Because if it's something that we kind of hope will happen, or it's something in the past, we'll never hear what it means in our today. So I'd like to just look for a few moments at Isaiah 61 and make some comments about what it means to hear this story anew. That there is an underlying hunger in this passage. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. And the first thing to note is that the Spirit of God is upon someone. And on that one is anointed. And that one is not anointed simply to occupy a space of one's own anointing, but to go and to serve. The anointing is to serve. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners. Just look at those verses for a moment. Look at the contrasting words that are used here. Good news to the oppressed, binding up the brokenhearted, proclaiming liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners. The hunger is that the oppressed are hungry for freedom. The hunger is the brokenhearted are hungry for a healed heart. The hunger is that there are captives who are looking for liberty. And the hunger is that there are prisoners who need to be released. And only one who is anointed with the very Spirit of God is able to not only bring a message, but bring it in such a way that he becomes the message and is the very means by which they are released, they are freed, and they are healed. So the role of the Messiah, the Advent message, is about meeting a deep and abiding hunger that lives in human lives and human hearts. It would be easy for us to consider this as something that is poetically powerful. But think for a moment in your own lives, where is there brokenheartedness? Where is there oppression? Where is their captivity? The prophet goes on to then in verse 2 say that the Messiah, the chosen one, will proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And that is a direct reference to the Jubilee year in Leviticus. And that was the year that slaves were to be freed, land was to be returned, people were to be given their substance back again by which to stay on their feet, and therefore experience comfort in their mourning. Now what you then begin to see in verses 3 is to provide for those who mourn, to give them a garland instead of ashes, an oil of gladness instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. There is a change in who they are within them because of what the Messiah does. There is a reversal. And this is the deep story and one of the significant dramatic turns in Advent that it is so easy to miss because we don't hear it. And that is that there is an unimaginable reversal of life in the one who we are to hear. Do you hear what I hear? Do you hear this reversal? Have you felt that in your own life? Where has Christ in your life, in your family, in your neighborhood, in this congregation, provided comfort for those who mourn? Where has Christ provided liberty in captivity? What I find important to note in this passage is that these who mourn, those who are weary, those who have a faint spirit, the reversal results in something. It results that they become oaks of righteousness. Redwoods of righteousness, maybe, or trees of righteousness. And then what do you see in verse 4? They then become those who build up the ancient ruins. They then become those who raise up the former devastations. They repair ruined cities. This is where we see the message of Advent, my friends. The dramatic reversal results in something deeply unimaginable. Not only death becomes life, but there is an inconceivable exchange of grace. What we know from Paul's preaching of the gospel is that through his poverty, we become rich. That he has become sin for us. That we are not righteous, but he is. And he then becomes our righteousness. And in that, we become oaks of righteousness. But the dramatic turns aren't simply this reversal, nor this inconceivable exchange. But there is the depth of it. An unfathomable communion with God. And it is that the Messiah becomes our deepest friend and our closest compatriot and helps us to go forth with this message. You know, what this implies is, first of all, Advent is not only for us. Advent is for those who aren't here. Advent is about gathering people who are broken, who are weary, who are in prison, and gathering them around the Advent candles and saying, this is for you. This is not just for us. Has that ever touched you and run across your mind during the Christmas season? That Advent is not just for us. That there are many whom Christ longs to bring. There are many who will go through their shopping routine. They may even go through Bloomingdale's or whatever this season. And they may even hear that song, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" and not know the core of what that song means. Pray for peace, people everywhere. Do you hear what I hear? When we look at those who are shopping, we look at those who are going to and fro. We just might go, my gosh, how do they move so fast? I almost got hit in the park in the car parking lot the other day. I thought to myself, do we need to go that fast? Advent is for those who haven't heard. And that means, from this passage, that we are the they who have been in lament and brokenhearted, and we go as trees of righteousness and humility to them who live among the ruins. I was struck as I was reading this passage this week, how it evoked within me a sense that there's a lot of broken stuff around, that there's a lot of ancient things that at one time were good and strong, but are now devastated. Not only neighborhoods, but families, people, hearts, churches. I love the story of St. Francis. He felt called that he was to rebuild the church. So he went to the church there, and he picked up a few stones, and he started putting a stone on top of a stone, and someone walked by. And they said, "What are you doing, St. Francis?" Or, "What are you doing, Francis?" He wasn't a saint at that time. Of course, we're Protestants, so we wouldn't call him a saint anyway. Only joking. Said, "Francis, what are you doing?" "I'm rebuilding the church." My brothers and sisters, I believe that it is time for us during this Advent to catch a fresh vision of what it means to rebuild the church. Not in terms of buildings, but in terms of people. A place where we and the Advent message burns alive and well every day of the year. Becoming the they who've lamented, and who sometimes are still in lament, who go to them who are brokenhearted. Now, I also think that it's important to kind of put a frame on this as well, not to kind of limit the story, but to get a handle on it. Because oftentimes this story, the Advent story, we think of shepherds and angels and songs and all those things, and we think of three kings and we think of Herod and all the stuff. The story is big, right? And it's got this grand scope to it. And that kind of leaves it way up there, or way back there, or somewhere to come. And we need a human scale on this scope. We need something that's going to tie us into where it is close. Because the good news, when I thought about this week, I wrote this, is the good news is so infinitely great as our God is transcendent. And it's so intimately near as our God is near. And that we find a way to see in the faces of those whom we love, and in our fellow congregants, and those who are in neighborhoods and places, and see that they're a part of this story too. That the grace of God, which reaches out to all, the grace of God, which is given in Christ, is blessed and sovereign. And yet we are called to participate in taking this message to others. And so I think to get that scale and focus, is it's a good thing to celebrate Advent. It's a good thing to have the Advent candle. It's a good thing to have Advent calendars, as long as it reminds you that today is the day to hear it. And tomorrow is the today to hear it and respond. Because heeding to this, what we hear, is very, very important, or else it just becomes a story. So I have a couple things, ideas. I always kind of think, well, you know, give me something to do, preacher. So here's something to do this week. Slow down. Take some time for solitude. Take some time for solitude. This story cannot be, it's not that the story needs to be grasped by your little head or your little heart. It's that your little head and your little heart needs to be grasped by the story. And to do that, you have to be quiet. You need to slow down and encourage you to take an hour or so or more this week. Read Isaiah 61. Read the passages from last week. Go into quiet and silence. I love what Meister Eckhart said. He said, Christ is only born in silence in the human heart. He cannot find a way in where there's too much noise. I think about that at this Christmas season. The second, I would encourage you to make a note and pray for those near you who lament and are brokenhearted. Don't forget them this Christmas. Many times those who are disaffected, the bah humbug thing that goes on, it's because they're brokenhearted. And many of us have a hard time at Christmas because it reminds us a lot of things that have held us captive and brokenhearted. But you, through your prayers, could become an oak of righteousness to minister to them, to make a list of those people, pray for them, but also to visit those who hunger for God's friendship through yours. I would say that I am very convicted by this passage. I don't know why, but that at least between now and Christmas, I need to go visit someone who's hurting. I need to go among someone who's lamenting and simply be with them and befriend them in the name of Christ and to take them and to actually live out the Advent message. Noel Regney was interviewed by the New York Times in 1985. And the Times interviewed him about the song, Do You Hear What I Hear? And this was his quote, and I thought it was very appropriate for this morning. He said, I'm amazed that people can think they know the song and not know it is a prayer for peace. He said, but we're so bombarded by sound and our attention spans are so short that we now listen only to catchy beginnings. If all we do is listen to the catchy beginning of Advent, we're not going to get it. But to go deeper, to hear it, will move us in very profound ways. And my prayer for you, my prayer as one of your pastors, is that you are deeply moved at this season to realize some of the things that this text points us to. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know? In your palace warm, mighty king, do you know what I know? A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Said the king to the people everywhere, listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say. The child sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light. Do you hear what I hear? Let's pray. Most merciful and majestic God of our creation, who gave us this child, your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might become sons and daughters of yours, give us ears to hear and hearts that heed. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.